You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet, and story is everything. We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas by the Hot Texas Swing Band, our friend Alex Dormont.
And I was still tapping my toes because the music is infectious, and I was sort of forgetting the camera was on.
That's okay.
So welcome. We are so just delighted that you joined us, whether it's your first time or you come along for the ride regularly. This is episode 177.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of shows. We've read a lot of books, haven't we?
Yeah.
And we're just so happy that you're with us tonight. We, Jim, where are we broadcasting from?
Well, I'll tell you. We are broadcasting from Muskogee, Oklahoma, where there are rolling hills and a lot of small farms and ranches. We are looking for the boy, AJ, because Bobby wants to see his new boots.
I do. And here comes our guest, the creator of AJ. Here is Sherry Roberts. Welcome, Sherry.
Hello. How are y'all tonight?
We are really good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Are you in your writing room? Is that like a favorite spot that you're in?
I'm actually in my living room. These are all my books behind me.
Yeah. That's fun. Yeah. It's always fun to have a little glimpse into the writer's world, isn't it?
Yeah. So where's your location?
Where are you tonight?
I am just outside of a little town called Nashville. So I'm in Middle Tennessee. I live outside of Nashville.
You know, you teach at one of those universities, don't you?
I teach at Middle Tennessee State University. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
We got to Nashville 2 years ago for a wonderful kind of vacation with family. We had the best time. It had been years since we'd been there.
Yeah. Been years. Years.
Yeah. And it had grown hugely since, you know, I don't know. We don't even remember when we were 10 years, 12, well, before we moved here. More years than we are old. So, Jim, do you want to get us started with a little bio about our special guest?
Sherry Roberts holds a PhD from the University of Louisville in curriculum and instruction. She is award-winning author and photographer of several children's pictures books. Dr. Roberts also has a three-book Galaxy series for middle grades. Tonight, we'll be discussing the first two books of her debut chapter series titled Just Call Me Partner and Just Look at Those Boots.
Yeah,
we'll look at followed those boots. Next year by Just Don't Give a Girl a Frog.
Oh, Sherry, we're just delighted to have you with us. And if we have a lot of friends from the Blue Cottage Agency online tonight, we want to say hello and welcome, don't we? So let's talk a little bit more about your background and maybe your writing background. Have you always been a writer, Sherry?
When I was younger and in secondary school especially, I actually enjoy writing. I like to write little things and little stories and stuff. And then, of course, I got into academics, and when you're in academics, your world becomes an academic journal. And then I wrote some secondary textbooks, and I just got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm tired of this. And what am I going to do when I retire? And so I started writing children's books to see if I could do it in 2013. And my first one came out, picture book came out in 2021, I think it was. 20 or 21. And I've been blowing and going ever since. I have 13 books out now. So most of them are picture books. And then I have the middle grade trilogy, which is right behind my head. I see that. And then now I have the chapter book series that I've started.
Yeah. And these two books that we got to read were so fun. We hope that when the third one and fourth and whatever come along, that you'll think to get keep us in the loop. Tell us for our listeners and an audience that might not know, can you just tell us a little bit about what would one expect to find in a chapter book and why is it called that?
A chapter book generally is after the picture books, when they actually, a child really starts to read more on their own. So a chapter book has less complex words than, say, a middle grade or a YA, but a little more complex words than is in a picture book, and more words, because a chapter book is generally around 10,000 and 15,000 words. Mm-hmm. Both of these are about 10, 11,000 words. They can be read by the child themselves because they're for 6 to 8 year olds, or they can, it's a great bedtime read because you can make a deal. I used to make these deals with my nephew all the time where I'll read a chapter, you read a chapter. Uh-huh. So that we both practice, because when he first started reading, he didn't want to be lose that somebody read to me when I go to bed. So we made deals. Mm-hmm. I'll read a chapter, you read a chapter. I'll read this, you read this. And so chapter books are perfect for that, because a chapter is generally not more than about 2-3 pages long. Mm-hmm. Which is much shorter than you think anything else. You know, you think of an adult book that we read a chapter and it's page upon page, and chapter books are not that way. They're about 3 pages long.
Sometimes that's the best for my focus.
Well, yeah.
No, sometimes. I don't know about you, but with a novel or a nonfiction, I'll see like, okay, how many pages in this chapter? And I might think like, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to try to get half it. But, you know, we read a book a week, so we kind of figure out some ways to get through it. But some chapters can be, you know, quite lengthy.
And chapter books are an intro, you could say, to a normal book, as we like to say, a normal book, which would be the middle grade, which comes next, which is 8 to 12 years old.
Yeah.
And then you get into the YA, and then
the
a lot of adults read YA. So YA anymore isn't just for kids.
Yeah. And it seemed, at least in these two books, we have a lot of action.
Yes.
Very so character-driven and action-driven. We're just following. Tell us a little bit about, let's just go ahead and tell us a little, let's see, how did before we jump into AJ and all that, where did the series come from? You almost made me go over that. Yeah, because you weren't saying anything.
The books actually are stories that my father has told me about his childhood. We started talking about 2 years ago or 3 years ago. We would sit down because I had out his old photo album. And I said, well, tell me about this or tell me that. Or because all my life growing up, he told us his teenage stories, which those I won't share with you. But I started asking about his childhood, and he has such fun stories to tell. Like the first picture I saw with him and one of his horses, and that's in the first book. Then I thought, you know, okay, tell me about learning to ride that horse and what happened to you. And in the book, I've got old pictures in the front of him. So in the book, each book has a story or two that are actually about him that I've just kind of elaborated or had a beginning to lead into that story of what happened. But and it's his life on a small farm, very small farm in Northeast Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, you told us a couple of interesting facts about your dad the other night when we talked, which we thought was quite astounding. He's a classically trained pianist.
Yeah.
Right?
He is a classically trained pianist. He plays bassoon. He plays clarinet. He plays most of the wind instruments. And he was a music educator for 52 years. So he did it a long time.
So we could imagine that AJ is going to grow up and then will be a whole new series of AJ and the keyboard.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It'll be a little, by the time we get to the book that will be titled, because it's what my dad constantly says about his life when you talk to him about how do you go from being a farm boy in a little tiny community to this classically trained pianist who has a doctorate in music ed and plays all these instruments. How do you become that person? And he always will tell you, just luck. So guess what the name of that book will be? Just luck.
Just luck.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading these about your time on the farm. Was it your grandparents' farm? Is that it?
It was my dad's dad's farm.
And
in all honesty, the tale is, I don't know how true it is, but I will tell the family lore, which is, you know, there are boomers and sooners in Oklahoma, right? And a boomer went when the gun went off and claimed land. Sooners were the ones who went before the boom. And we were sooners. And so the land that supposedly the land my grandpa had for his small farm was part of that original farm. And then I have other relatives who have other parts and pieces over the years. It's been sold off over the years by just about, it was sold my dad's freshman year, I think, in college.
So our main character, AJ, and it all is taking place on that family farm. Was there some research that you had to do to be sure that you got the details right about farm life and chores and horses and all that?
Well, the chores were from my dad. The horses, let's just say, I'm not a farm girl. I am very much a city girl. So I have a friend in high school who raises horses. And so she became a horse whisperer when I didn't know, like, even how to saddle a horse. My dad would just laugh when I asked him. And so she got more technical with me and made sure I said things. But the very first four chapters I sent her of the first book, she immediately, this is embarrassing to say, immediately emailed me and said, it is not a chicken co-op. It's a chicken coop. And we don't pick eggs. We gather them. And I was like, do not harass me. So they're just small things like that, that I would state wrong in the book. And she would have to go, this is what you say, not that. And I put a bridle on when I was supposed to have a harness on. I don't know what I was doing. And she's like, okay, you have to change. I'm like, sorry.
Research counts. It matters, right? No matter what you're writing, what level you're writing.
And I will say that that area of Oklahoma, I basically kind of grew up that area too, because I am actually an Okie from Muskogee. I was born in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and my grandparents lived there my whole life. And my dad's parents, my mother's parents lived in Muskogee, and my dad's parents lived in Tulsa. They were separated. They were divorced by then. But so they had two different houses in Tulsa. So I knew about Jinx and that whole northeast corner of Oklahoma. So that part I didn't really have to look up. I'd heard about it all my life and been in that area all my life. So,
Right. And it's set in the 30s into the 40s.
It will eventually get into the 40s. Let's start into the, because he was born in 1933.
Right.
So he was at the very end of the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl.
The
odd thing was, on that side of Oklahoma, they did not have the dust problems that they had on the western side. They had in that area, they had, and I looked all this up, because he told me about the flooding and the floods and everything. And that will come. There is a book that will talk about that later, and I won't tell you what happened, but there is an exciting story that goes along with the flooding
That
comes along.
That's great. Mm-hmm. We are going to step away for just a moment, Sherry, and kind of acknowledge and thank our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. Mm-hmm. Are you a writer? Our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, are standing by to assist you, and they have a special offer created just for you. When we come back, Gene Autry sings. He's an Oklahoma boy, and we'll have more from our special guest, Sherry Roberts. You don't want to miss a minute. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Way down yonder in the Indian Nation, I rode my pony on the reservation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Way down yonder in the Indian Nation, a cowboy's life is my occupation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Many months have come and gone since I wandered from my home in those Oklahoma hills where I was born. Though a page of life has turned, many a lesson I have learned, yet I feel like in those hills I still belong. Way down yonder in the Indian Nation, I rode my pony on the reservation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born.
All right, welcome back to Under with the Writer. We're with Sherry Roberts, and that's Gene Autry.
Yeah, one of my favorite songs written by Woody Guthrie, another Oklahoma, Oklahoma hometown guy. And we're just delighted to have Sherry back with us. And
we kind of arm wrestled on this one a little bit, you know, and Gene won out, but we were thinking about Merle Haggard's Okie from Muskogee. So we're going to play music all night.
I do have a story about that song.
Do you? Yeah.
My granddaddy was a revenuer during the day of the Four Corners. And if you're from Oklahoma, you know the Four Corners. It's Kansas, it's Oklahoma, Missouri, and Arkansas. And he was a revenuer during that time. And so when the line comes in the song, Okie from Muskogee, White Lightning is still the biggest thrill of all. My granddaddy would always go, and I know where it is. Which is always the family joke because it's like, he knows where it is.
Well, we did talk about it, and I decided for the time period we'd do Gene because, and as we learn in the, a little bit more in the second book, it comes out that our hero AJ has really got a little thing for the cowboys in the movies. And so we kind of thought, we're going to put Gene in there.
And my dad would have listened to that then. So
sure. Yeah. Sure.
You know, it's you say AJ, AJ is our hero.
Yes.
There. You know, the story is, you know, kind of inspiration from your dad, but AJ, do you know anybody like him, or did you just make him up totally?
He's kind of a combination of my dad, my grandpa, I don't know, and just somebody I made up. Of course, AJ, he's named Allie for his in the book, he's named Allie for his grandpa and John for his dad. But actually, in reality, my grandpa, my dad's dad was Allie, and my dad is John. So it's actually my dad's initials backwards.
That's fine.
So the character's actually named after my dad, just backwards.
Yeah. And you
know, I'm going to say it, but in the book, AJ is very sensitive about that name.
He doesn't like to be called Allie.
I'm AJ and I'm brave, right? We learned that he gets braver in book two. I'm brave and I'm going to tell you to call me AJ.
And that comes from the fact that my grandpa wasn't called Allie very often. He didn't like it because they also thought when he was a boy that that was very girly. And they called him Al. Most people called him Al.
Al. That'll work.
Yeah.
Well, that's so, kind of where that part of the story came from.
So we get AJ's story in first person, or from totally from his point of view.
Yes.
Is there a reason that you, because I could see, oh, it could be done differently, but I love that it's AJ. Did you have any thoughts about?
Most of the time I write in first person.
You do.
My whole middle grade series is in first person from Cece's point of view. And a lot of my picture books are first person. I like it that way. It's, to me, it's easy to write that way.
Yeah.
To have it be what is in that person's head and what they're thinking.
Yeah.
So I never, you know, people have asked me, would I ever write it like third person or even, you know, change it out? I don't know.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes total sense. In book one, Just Call Me Partner, which is where we meet everybody. Tell us a little bit about how old is he and maybe a little bit about what's his morning before school? What are some of the chores that he does?
In book one, you find out he's really starting to get more and more chore assignments to earn what he's looking for in that particular book. And with the chores, he's right around seven, you know, close to seven in that first book.
Yeah.
Or in, he is seven. I can't really, around in that age. But
yeah.
They do have goats and cows on the farm, not a lot, but a few. And then they have chickens. So yes, we've already talked about the fact it is a coop, not a co-op. And he does gather them and not pick them every morning, but for his mother to cook with throughout the day. But he also, they has decided he wants more chores. He wants, you know, he's grown, he's bigger, he needs a horse. So if it means I need more chores and responsibilities, then what are they? And so they start him off with milking the goat.
Yes.
And that becomes kind of disastrous because he does all the things that you see in movies, or if you've ever been to a farm and tried to milk a goat or a cow for that very first time, and things just don't go right. And for AJ, things don't always go right.
Which makes for delightful reading. We also learn in this book, he wants a horse.
He wants a horse.
And he wants
and boots.
New cowboy hat. So
in the first book, he wants that hat. He wants the horse and he wants the hat. Now, why does he want the horse? Because he watches John Wayne movies and he wants to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
But to be like him, what do you have to have once you get a horse?
You got to have a hat. You got to have a hat. So in light of those two things that we know that he wants, and he's a hard worker, we're going to take a listen. And Sam Hassan is our DJ tonight. We're going to take a listen to Trinity Seeley, another wonderful performer. We're going to hear about a minute of her song, A Cowboy Hat. More with Sherry when we come back.
We live in a world where so many boys and girls lost sight of who they really are. But in the eye of the horse, you're looking into a mirror, an image looking back at you. Simple life, work hard and wear cowboy hats. It's easier said than done, but that's how the West was won, living off the folklore of the old. It's tested, it's tried and true, it'll work best for me and you. Some call it the cowboy code. Just live a simple life, work hard and wear cowboy hats.
Hello there. You just been listening to Trinity Seeley singing about a hat.
Yeah, from her album, Old Polly Rope. She's a wonderful working cowgirl and equestrian, and it's just fabulous. I just love hearing the music. Mr. Sam Hassan, our hat off to you, because the music that comes through on this show sounds so fantastic.
Well, this is about AJ, and he wants a hat.
He wants a hat.
does he get one? And is that a spoiler alert?
No, because it kind of is on the cover. That he has a horse and a hat on the cover. So you kind of know what's coming.
Yeah. And there's something else that he really wants. And any of us that have ever taken horse riding lessons that know, you know, you go around the circle in the corral or wherever you are, and it's rare for them to actually take you out. And what does he want to do?
He wants to ride the trails. What cowboy just sits in a corral? You got to ride the trails. Yeah. And he wants to go ride a trail and dreams about it and then does it, but it goes well, but his dream did not go well. Yeah. Put it that way.
Yeah. So there's a couple other characters, of course, that help him along the way. John is
the farmhand, and John was the name of the farmhand, or the man who had a farm close by who would come and help out on my dad's farm. And he was a Native American, and my dad seems to remember, it's been a while, that he was Creek Indian. So, but John didn't talk a lot and didn't talk about a lot of things, but that was what he believed he was. And that's what we made him in the book. And then I had a friend who is Cherokee and works with the Indian Nation. And she helped me to make sure I said everything right. And I may have just said all that wrong, but she was a wonderful help. She helps with all the books whenever we talk about John and John's background. The other friend is named Benji. And Benji is named Benji because I always have a reason for my characters' names and everything. But Benji is named Benji because it rhymes with my dad's true life best friend growing up.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And John, you know, John is teaching him. He teaches him how to do everything, the girth and the all of that, the cinch. And he's
a tough guy, though.
Yeah,
he's teaching that, but sometimes he lets AJ learn on his own.
Yeah,
most of the time.
And AJ keeps, you know, he keeps in there about, I want to ride, I want to go out on the trail. And what does John recommend they do?
Well, you got to go clear the trail to make sure, you know, check it out and clear to make sure that there's no trees that have been blown down or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to make sure you got it safe, right?
With dad and grandpa, the three of them go out on their trail.
Dad and grandpa go out, yeah.
Yeah.
You in the story, you chose to have John do the teaching, or most of the teaching, and not his father.
He's working.
And but, you know, I can see, you know, in real life, that's probably, I can see some advantage in having a third party do the teaching. He expects John to start with. But sometimes you take too many orders from your father, and all of a sudden you rebel. <Yeah.
laughs> With my dad, it was John did a lot of the teaching, mainly because my grandpa, during the day, would actually go into Tulsa, and he worked at a factory there and was a foreman at that factory. And so then he would come home after working there, and then he would work the farm, take over working at the farm. And a lot of weekends, even Saturdays, he was in Tulsa, working at the factory, and then come back. So John was really kind of the constant that my dad had. And my grandmother went in with my grandpa during the week a lot of times, not every day, but a lot of days, and not the weekend though. And she worked in a little department store there in Tulsa, and she sold the piece goods. Mm-hmm. So she sewed a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be important in this third book.
Mm-hmm. So we want everybody to just imagine you're a young boy. You can't wait. You know, this is the morning of the trail ride.
Yay!
And your three heroes, your mentors, John and Dad and Grandpa, are all along. We're going to have your song. Sam Hassan is going to play one of my favorites from Sid Masters called Cowboy's Ride. And we'll be back in just a moment. Enjoy.
Oh, for a ride over the prairies free on a fiery, untamed steed where the curlews fly and the
coyotes cry, and the western wind goes sweeping by. My heart enjoys the speed with my lifetime on the bridle rein, and the saddle girth perched behind, with the lariat tied at the pony's side, by my stout right arm that's true and tried. We race the whistling wind. Swift as a shooting star that suddenly flies across the sky, and the wild birds whirl in quick surprise at the cowboy's gay hurrah.
Welcome back. We're listening to Sid Masters and Cowboy Ride.
With a little nice yodel. With a little yodel in there, Sid. Oh, and that's from Sid Masters' Frontier Cowboy Songs album. And we know Sid very well. He lives right in the Albuquerque area. We see him perform regularly. And if he's ever in your area, you got to go see Sid Masters.
You know, he started his first day of school. Not necessarily the first day ever, but the first day of this school
year. Jumping into book two.
That was a busy day for him. He's got new cowboy boots. He's got a bully.
Yeah.
He becomes a star playing kickball.
Yeah.
All that's going on.
He has quite a day, doesn't he, Sherry?
Yes. This is when we introduce the bad guy. Every book has to have a bad guy. And in the first book, I really didn't give you a bad guy, but he was around the corner waiting to come out. And he came out in the second book, and his name is Elijah Remington. Why did I name him that? Because it just sounded mean to me. Pardon to everybody named Elijah and everybody whose last name is Remington. It just sounded like a bully's name.
Yeah.
So I named him Elijah Remington, and he's not nice.
No, he's not.
No, and we've all had at least one Elijah in our life.
Yeah.
You know, at least one. And he's not even nice in like the science lab, the science room. It isn't really just AJ that he goes after, although he kind of does, but he's just kind of you know, he's just always looking for something to make trouble, you know.
Sorry, I've suddenly lost my losing power.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll let you make sure you're connected. Are you good?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah. It's the internet. It's what goes on with equipment and tools and cyberspace and computers, right? All of that stuff we have to deal with.
You know, you bring up kickball. You know, I never played kickball, but Bobby did, I guess.
Yeah, I played kickball.
It sounds a lot like baseball, except you're kicking a ball.
Yeah. And they never wanted to pick me for a team. I was always one of the last, you know, you didn't want to pick me for a team.
The last hurrah.
Last hurrah. And if I did get picked, then it was like, oh, you know, it was not a good thing for me. But AJ has a grand slam day.
Yeah, he has a good day, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sure does.
He has a wonderful day.
He has a wonderful day until later in the day, but he has a wonderful day. And you know, his mom let him do something that morning. What did she let him do?
She let him wear the boots. Because you really, you know, if you think about the Waltons and all of them, you didn't wear boots to school.
No.
You just wore tennis shoes or something like that. And they let him wear the boots to school.
Yeah, which is so surprising, you know, truly surprising. Because, you know, kids, you get rough and ready, you know, brand new boots, beautiful new boots. And mom had to be a little concerned. But anyway, he does really well in kickball, doesn't he?
He does. He gets a grand slam. Now, I don't know if you can see, but right there is a photo I took at the Texas Ranger baseball game.
Oh.
I'm very into baseball. So I knew what a grand slam was.
Okay. Yeah.
That I didn't need research.
Very, very fun. Let's see. So we meet Elijah. And then we have a horseback ride later in the day. And
it doesn't go well.
No. AJ does seem to have a little bit of a challenge, doesn't he, with
AJ has the same challenge in both books and probably will in several books to come, which is he likes to daydream. I'm moving. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
He likes to daydream.
Yeah. Yeah. And what kid
does much into daydream.
Yep. Yeah. And we keep, and he's reminded, you know, the adults around him and even the teachers at school, they all kind of recognize that he tends to kind of zone out in this sort of daydreaming stage, right?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to step away again, Sherry, for our last little spot here. This is for our page at bookshop.org. We're going to step away for just a moment to tell you about one of the places you can order the books of many of our author guests, including Sherry Roberts. Find their books on the Out West Shop affiliate page at bookshop.org. When we come back, we're all going to daydream with a piece of music this time, written and performed by Dave Stamey. You are all AJ, and you are all daydreaming. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
If I had some boots, they'd go so well with my buckskin suit. I could walk into places I never ever dared to go. With my firm and manly stride, mean guys would just step aside, and I'd be admired by folks I don't even know. And I'd be Gene Autry, I'd be Roy Rogers, I'd have a sidekick who's an old codger. I could chase down the robbers and I could recover the loot. People would look up to me, 'cause I'd be something that they could aspire to be. And this would all be possible if I just had some boots. 'Cause I'd be Tom Mix, I'd be the Lone Ranger, I'd be John Wayne, I'd be the tall, dark stranger. I could ride into danger, 'cause I'd be brave, of course. And people would look up to me, 'cause I'd be something that they could aspire to be. And this would all be possible if I just had a horse. This would all be possible if I just had a horse.
You've been listening to Dave Stamey, If I Had a Horse.
Dave, this is such a great song. I'm sure you all heard all those movie cowboy names, right, Sherry? Even John Wayne
all of them.
Is in there.
Yes.
Oh, how fun. So go ahead, Jim. You want to open this next segment?
We talked about characters a little bit, you know, a little bit more than what we have so far. And the first question we always ask, do they ever surprise you?
Yes. Mainly because I am a pantser writer, so I have no outline. I have no idea what they're about to do. And then suddenly they do it. And I'm like, well, really? And then, you know, then you're off to the races, as they say.
Exactly.
Often I have no idea what they're going to do. And then suddenly they do it. And you're like, well, bless your heart.
That's good. That's good. You know, let's talk about Benji a little more. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, Benji.
But he's not quite the rancher that AJ is.
No, Benji actually doesn't live on a ranch. Benji is more of a farm boy. So he grows crop more. His family grows crop. So he doesn't like horses and the smell, and he is not mucking out a stall. That is not his thing. And he's kind of one of these little, and we've all seen him and we've all had friends this way, kind of one of those that roll out of bed and come to school.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we're rumbly, we're tumbly, and we're, you know, whatever, we're here.
Yeah. They're good partners though, aren't they?
They're always a good partner.
Yeah, they're good partners. Let's see. We talked a little bit about John. So let's just give us a little bit more about Lady Star, the horse.
Lady Star, the horse, is a lot of the stories are based on the first horse, Lady, that my dad had. And so some of the shenanigans that the horse gets up to actually happened. Mm-hmm. And she was a feisty horse, you know, and sometimes you have that horse that is rusty, you know, kind of has its own mind and does its own thing. And so you have to be really good at controlling it. And when you're only like 7, 8 years old, that's not always easy to do. And it's not that she was a big horse, or she is a big horse. His lady was not big. It's just she had her own mind about things.
Yeah. And John discovers lots of sort of, I'll call them teachable moments as he's instructing him. And one of them is about, you know, taking the reins and making sure she knows who's in charge.
Who's in charge.
And that's a little hard for AJ, that daydreamer, isn't it?
It is. When you're a daydreamer, it's easy for those reins to get lost and dropped out of your hands. And once they are, then who is in charge? Not you.
Exactly.
Very definitely the horse is then in charge. And I think with John, the biggest thing with teachable moments for him is he is always the reminder that there are consequences. Actions have consequences, good or bad, but they all have consequences. So if you're going to daydream on a horse and lose control of that horse, then the consequences are yours.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we have a rollicking scene where that happens. That is so well written, Sherry. I could just see it on the big screen. And I was laughing and sort of gasping for AJ, you know, as I began to understand what's happening. And, then that poor little kid, he hardly gets to bed that night. That day that started so well. How many of us have that kind of day? You're up high on the mountain peak, right? And the next thing you know.
That's easy enough.
It's not a good day.
Not a good day.
Because on a farm, what you have to remember and what children hopefully learn in all of these books is on a farm, there are still chores no matter what, because there are animals depending on you, goats and cows that depend on you to milk them. There are chickens that you have to gather the eggs so that your mom has food to cook. And in those days in the 30s, because they were just coming out of the Depression, most farming families grew most of what they ate, either raised it or grew it.
Yeah.
You know, there was very little they went to the grocery store for.
Yeah.
So when eggs get crushed or aren't gathered, then, you know, there's not eggs to cook for breakfast or to cook with cornbread to put in the milk. And, or there's not milk to have because it's spilled or you didn't go do the chores.
Yeah.
So there are consequences to everything you do. And again, they're good and bad because you got the hat because you did. You learned responsible things. So you won your hat. You got your hat. You got your horse. But then you also have a bad day.
Yeah. Well, and as readers, this is all very entertaining also.
I think about Benji again. There's no way Benji could handle that job, could he?
Oh, no.
That's not the job Benji does.
Yeah. I am looking at the clock, Sherry. So we would love you to take a moment and tell us about the illustrator for the book And then we'd love you to tell us how we can find you, follow you, and where we can get the books.
The first illustrator was, he is from Pakistan. I don't say his name very well. But he did a really nice job. We had to explain some of the 30s here in the States to him because he is from another country. The second illustrator is Victoria Marble, who I think did a beautiful job of illustrating everything and knowing in the chapter pictures what to illustrate and convey. I gave her some of my dad's pictures, sent her some emails with dad's pictures so that she could get the feeling of that time.
Yeah.
And to find me, if you go to www.sjrobertscreative.net, you can find all my social media. You can find about every book I've ever written, awards they've all won. And then you can also find links to purchase them.
All right. Good. Well, this has been so much fun. I hope you had a good time because we
sure did. Thank you very much.
We sure did. Jim, you have a quote?
We have quotes.
I have to get our pages in order.
Particularly, this one is about what we're talking about here, the whole show here. You know, part of AJ's boarding chores are milking the goat Sadie, and as we said, gathering
eggs. Are you going to say capturing eggs?
You know,
gathering eggs.
It's interesting. You know, I've gathered about 10,000 eggs in my lifetime. To call it capturing is kind of interesting, you know? Because I used to live on a farm.
Oh, you never picked an egg?
No.
And today's not going to be a good day. AJ's saying, he says, well, Sadie is settling, and I get my work with her done. Standing with the almost full bucket of goat's milk, Sadie decides to move back and steps right into the basket of eggs. Why did I put that basket there? As Sadie tries to get away from the basket, she's breaking more eggs and milk is splashing everywhere. Down I fall right into broken eggs. Yuck. What a way for a school year to start.
And you have a second short one.
Yeah, for a fellow I like here by the name of Mark Twain. And I thought this particular quote was good for all the little teaching things that AJ goes through. And Mr. Twain says, I have never let my schooling interfere with my education.
And that's true.
Once again, we want to thank everybody that is watching, listening, whether you pick it up live tonight or you do down the road. We thank you so much for your support. Share it if you can. We really love that. This is episode 177. We want to thank our Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio, everything, owner, producer, engineer, and DJ. And our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency, Clicks by Madison, and tonight's musicians, Gene Autry, Trinity Seeley, Sid Masters, and Dave Stamey, and of course, the Hot Texas Swing Band. Next week, we have a full house. We kick off April with Henry C. Park, as always, giving them the latest news on what's going on in the Western film and TV. Editor for True West Magazine, author of The Greatest Westerns Ever Made and The People Who Made Them and Along With Him. Author, filmmaker Manuela Schneider will be joining us from Germany. I'm holding up a book, Tombstone Silver. The one we'll be talking about is Dr. Goodfellow, and she's just been in Arizona filming a couple of weeks ago. And our other guests joining them, this is all about Tombstone filmmaking and firearms. Peter Shirako, another great friend we've known for many, many years. He's written a new technical but very important book, Prove It Safe, Gun Safety in the Movies. And the three of these amazing experts, filmmakers, and who really know what goes on set are going to be with us. So do plan on tuning in. It'll be a really, really fun time. Do you have a final comment?
Well, first, we want to thank you again for being on, Sherry.
Thank you so much for having me.
And as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing.
And we'll keep reading.
And we'll keep reading. And we'll see you down the trail. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night.
Yay. Bye-bye.